My name is Anton Boyko. I arrived here from Ukraine. You can recognize it by my shirt. It's a traditional Ukrainian shirt. It's modern, not an ancient one, but modern. But either way, very traditional. And today I want to talk about web apps, and I want to go in kind of deep dive way of talking about web apps. Before we will go in details, how many of you using web apps? Okay, so less than a half. Okay, so before we start, I want to highlight two important points. So first one, if you have any questions, you can interrupt me right now because I will prefer to have kind of conversation, not just kind of I will do the talking, you will do the listening. It's not the way I want to deliver this topic to you. And second one, I have some questions which I will ask you during my presentation, so it will be some quizzes, and if you will be able to answer correct on my questions, you will have some nice and fancy giveaways, like this one. So let's get started. A few words about myself. I'm Microsoft Azure Ukraine Community Founder. I'm Azure MVP, MCT, TE, OMG, and stuff like that. Here is my personal email. You can also find me on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and, LinkedIn, okay. So, on LinkedIn also, you can take a picture of this slide, or you can take a selfie in the front of this slide, because you can write me an email, and I'm ready to talk about more or less everything except politics and religion. So, web apps overview. Let's just highlight several points before we will go to a deep dive session. So, first of all, app service is a one integrated offering because when we talk about web apps, it's not only about like web apps because you can also use more or less the same for mobile apps and API apps. So now we do not have these boundaries. So almost everything I will deliver today about web apps will also be true for mobile apps and API apps. And also the logic apps is kind of small part of this party, so we will not cover it today. Of course, you can develop your app using a lot of platforms like .NET, Node.js, PHP, Python, Java. For example, how many of you use Node.js for creating web apps? Okay, one, okay, two. Anyone else? Okay, three. It's actually quite a funny because I will show small demo with Node.js, but I believe if you know like JavaScript or any other programming language, you will be able to understand it. So, if you have your app based on these technologies, you are able to use this platform. Of course, it's not always like copy your code here and it will work. No. At some point, you may need also adjust it a little bit, but either way, it's more or less simple. Now we have some issue with images. But okay. So this is a very important part, web apps architecture. I want to explain it in a lot of details, just to give you an understanding how platform like works under the hood. So first of all, here you have some clients, users, which try to access your app, which is based on a web app. And they will go firstly to the Microsoft Azure Load Balancer. This is hardware load balancer. After that, they will be redirected to another load balancer, but we will talk about this a little bit later in detail. And after that, they will be redirected to some kind of server farm. What is interesting about this server farm? You can have some number of servers here, like from 1 to maybe 10, something like this. And you deploy your code only once. And after that, it's not important on how many servers you have here because your code will still work. Of course, your code can use some kind of file system. For example, if you are using, WordPress, Joomla, or stuff like that, they can store the images you can upload to this CMS on a file system. That is why you need to have the same file system on all servers. So Microsoft decided not to reinvent the wheel and create some kind of file server, not inside the forum, but outside the forum. And basically, each server right here in this forum just connect to this file share using kind of SMB protocol and consumes all data from this file share. So when you deploy your app, it's actually deployed here. And after that, all servers just connect to this share and consume your application code. This is also important because you can change the number of servers in a forum, in a runtime, and always they will have access to the latest version of code and all other files on the file system. And of course, this file server is built on top of blob storage. I will talk about blob storage actually tomorrow during my second presentation, but just several quick facts. It's based on the blob storage, and it means that your data will be stored in a kind of high available system, and when you store your data here, Microsoft will never lose it. Here you have some kind of deployment server. We will also talk about this deployment server later, and this deployment server is able to handle some kind of deployment process of your app. I will show this in a demos, but you can, for example, publish your code to the GitHub or maybe to Codeplex and stuff like that, and then you can connect your web app to this GitHub or Codeplex or any other repo and configure some kind of continuous deployment story. I will also show this in a demos. And of course, you have the runtime database. Before we go to the runtime database, application database, which is basically also outside the forum, and you can use it, you cannot use it. It's not relevant here. Just if your application needs to store some data in a database, this database will be somewhere also outside the forum. Runtime database, we use it for store some kind of configuration values for the forum. For example, here you can find the exact numbers of servers which are in which used for serving this forum right now. So, for example, here I have like 6 servers on this picture. So, if you will ask this API how many servers I have right now, it will return 6. In the same way, you can manage the configuration. For example, let's say that you want to create some kind of environment variable on every server. It can be, I don't know, let's say connection string to your database. It's kind of nice example. So that's why you can also create this environment variable by this API endpoint. So it will be stored in this runtime database, and after that, it will be pushed to all servers. So in general, this is the web apps architecture. Do you have some questions, or it's more or less clear for now? Okay, so let me ask my questions then. As I said, we have load balancer here, and here we have IIS, which works in application request routing mode. So basically, it's another load balancer. So I have a question. Why do I need to have 2 load balancer? They should do that should do more or less the same job. Any guess?
You have 2 different farms?
No, I have only 1 farm. Yes, but I expect for another answer, but you're very close to it. Okay, so
the second load balancer is part of my deployment.
No, they're both part of infrastructure. Okay. No. Okay, so for now, I believe I will give it to you, that guy. So I will ask my wife to deliver you the giveaways, because you was like you provide more or less the closest answer. And the answer is that the first load balancer, it works on level 4. So it can work only with like protocol like TCP and port number. But the second load balancer, which is IIS, it works on a level 7, and you can use it for create some kind of, for handling sticky sessions. So if you want to have sticky sessions in your app, you need to have this second load balancer, because first one is unable to handle it. Do you know what is sticky sessions? The main idea of sticky sessions is that you have farm. Let's say the farm has like 2 servers, and user just start going on your website, clicking some pages, and you can have 2 different scenarios. First one, load balancer can redirect user to kind of random server, just because we want to like split the load in a more or less equal way. Or you can set, when the first user came to my site, I will attach it or I will stick it to server like number 1 or number 2. So any subsequent request from the same user will go to the same server. You can enable this or you can disable this. So by default, it's enabled, I believe. But if you want to increase the response time a little bit, you need to disable it. Because that's why you will not have some kind of small delays on this level. OK, nice. So let's go further. Yeah.
The first one is responsible for the HTTPS.
No, the second one is responsible for HTTP. Or you mean like encoding or? Yeah.
Yeah. And they need to go through the same same route always, right? If you have an HTTP, you can detect it, but if you have HTTPS, it's encoded and encrypted, and you cannot. You don't know which server to send it to, right? So that's
I will say yes and no, because you can encrypt it on any server if you have an appropriate certificate. So when you upload this certificate for encrypt your HTTPS traffic, it will be uploaded to the whole farm. So you upload it only once here using this API endpoint, and it will be pushed to the all servers. So you can disable sticky sessions and still have HTTPS enabled for your app. So what we have next? Web app features. Let's talk about several web app features. That is kind of my favorite ones. So let's start from source control integration. And I cannot agree more. We also have these issues with the picture. But either way, I cannot agree more than when you try to configure source control integration, it's always adventure. So this is choose your own adventure is always true, not only for web apps, but more or less for any other stuff. So Microsoft provides you with built-in integration with any JIT repository, with Visual Studio Team Services, with Codeplex, GitHub, Bitbucket, Dropbox for some reason, and also OneDrive. So if you are storing your source code in Dropbox or OneDrive and use it as a source control, for some reason, I don't know, you can also use it to introduce the continuous delivery story. And also, like for the ancient ones or for the hipsters, FTP. So you can just ask for login and password or like configure login and password for FTP, and you can just upload your files to the FTP, and that's all. Let's go in kind of more details. To handle this deployment, Microsoft creates this deployment server because it can be kind of tricky. Let's say that like I want, for example, to publish Node.js app. Some other guy wants to publish PHP app and stuff like that. So it's not just about copy your files to the web app and that's all. It also can include some additional steps. For example, how many of you using .NET? Okay, so more or less everyone. It can be not so clear, but either way. So you're using .NET, and if you're using .NET, then you also may use NuGet packages because you want to introduce like a single repo for your packages and a single way how you work with those packages. So if I publish my .NET app here, I also want these NuGet packages to be restored. And I do not want to restore them and save it in my source control. So I want this deployment server to restore these packages for me. But if I, for example, want to publish Node.js app, I also may have some package manager like npm, for example, and I also need to restore the npm packages. But restoring NuGet and restoring npm, it's similar stuff, but either way, it's two different stories. So that is why first thing I want to show is Azure command line interface, which you can use for create these deployment scripts. And it may be not so clear, maybe, but either way, you're able to generate this script by the type of your project. So, for example, ASP.NET Core, just regular ASP website, Node, PHP, Python, Basic. Oh, for any other website. Okay, so BASIC, it stands for any other website, not like BASIC, like a programming language. And after you run this command and after you have this script locally, it will look more like in this way. It's just a part of this script. You can adjust it because it's just a regular text file. So what we have here in this script, basically, the more important line is, I will say here and here. So first of all, I check for grantfile.js because I use grant for running some test in my Node.js app. Then I install grant CLI and then I execute command grant build, which is actually creates kind of minified and distributable version of my app. You can put any commands here, so you can just consider it as a bat file. But and either way, it's a bat file actually. So just a regular bat file, so you can put anything here. And your deploy server will execute all this stuff before deployment. If you provide exit code 0, then it means that like deployment was successful. If, for example, you want to run some unit tests before deployment. You can also put some commands which will run your unit tests. If they will exit with non-zero code, then it will mean that deployment is failed and your web app will not be updated. It's no matter how hard you will click the button, your web app will not be updated if you return non-zero code here. And I believe it's time for another quiz. It's kind of a hard one. So why having a CPU-intensive long-running build process on top of Kudu, but this engine, the name of engine is Kudu, can easily kill your app? So if I have kind of long-running CPU-intensive build, my app will be killed and users will be unable to get access to my app. It's a really hard question, actually, but I believe you should know about this.
Are you out of your credits?
Sorry?
Are you out of your credits?
No. Let's say that you have, Visa Platinum or stuff like that, so you don't care about credits. No. The tricky point is in another place because Kudu, this deployment server, works on the same node that hosts your web app. So that's why if you have some kind of CPU-intensive long-running task, it will consume all resources, and when any other user will try to access your site, you'll have like 100% of CPU for CUDA and have no resources for the web app itself. So I will say that my personal recommendation, you can use CUDA if you want to have some kind of copy code, restore packages, and deploy. So it's okay for using CUDA in these scenarios. If you have some kind of more complicated scenario, try to avoid this. Try to use some kind of standalone build server, which will run all unit tests, maybe some kind of, performance test and stuff like that, integration tests, and only after that, deploy it here. So, AfterScale, it's also one of my favorite, and I put only marketing slides here just to introduce my point. So, AfterScale, you have your users, you have your web app, and suddenly you will have more users, but you turn on AutoScale mode, so the web farm starts to grow and starts to provision new servers to handle the load. Then you will have even more users, and your web farm will start growing even more. At the end, some users just go away, so your web farm is shrinked a little bit. And from this point, it looks really nice. It's really a nice feature because in Azure, when you host your web app, you pay only for number of servers this web app consumes. So, for example, if I do not need to have like 10 servers, I am happy with 3, I will just pay less, and I really like it. But the question is, why web app's auto-scale feature also can kill your app if you will turn it on and try to be happy? Do you have any ideas? Let's try to imagine just, maybe some kind of on-premise installation when you have like your web farm and suddenly you have more users, so you just install new servers to the web farm. And what can go wrong here?
Because you actually set the parameters, how many servers you can add on a certain level.
No. You can have up to 50 servers, 4 core and 7 gigabytes of RAM each. Yeah, but you can put this in auto-scale rules. So you can say, okay, I do not want to have more than 20, for example, or I do not want to have less than 10 and stuff like that. But what can go wrong here?
Auto-scaling takes time.
Yes. Yes, I totally agree with you. This is the first reason. But we have the second one, which is actually even more important than the first one.
You say 10, but it's not always,
yes. It's not always. But usually it happens, as you may understand, it happens extremely unexpectedly.
And it happens only, but you're talking about only about scale out, not scale up. Yes?
Yeah. This guy.
To
you. So the first reason is yes, scale is not instantaneous, but the second one, you will scale only the web tier. So if you have like a database as a bottleneck, it will not fix your issue. It will start like collecting requests and it will just hit your database with a hammer. So database will collapse. And basically, your app will die at the same moment. So when you need to work with this like in a very precise mode, because you can scale your web farm, so it can consume more traffic. But you need to understand that you will send like the same amount of traffic to the next level, like database or maybe application server, which you have like behind your web farm and stuff like that. And the main idea here, it's not about don't use autoscale, it's about use your head. So it's really a nice feature, but as always, you need to use your head first. And another point I can add here, do not trust the guy from marketing department, because they will show you these fancy slides and say, you know, you can just turn it on and it will work like a charm. Yes, and it will also kill your app like a charm. Let's go further. So deployment slots, another interesting idea. So we can have kind of, I will name it, cowboy-style deployment when we deploy directly from dev machine to production. So it's kind of, but you know, I believe that only Chuck Norris can do this kind of deployments. If you are not Chuck Norris, try to avoid this. So that's why Microsoft introduced kind of very simple stuff, but either way, it's very useful. The name is deployment slots, and the main idea is that for the same web app, you can have like several different URLs, which name slot, and you can swap these slots. And for example, you can roll out the new version of code to the staging environment, which is actually the copy of your production, run some integration tests, do some other like I don't know, verification you may want to have, and after that, you can swap them. It's really a nice feature. It's provided with a lot of different scenarios. One of my favorite is that you will have not actually zero downtime, but almost zero downtime. This is actually the fastest way how you can introduce the new version of your app to your users. And also, another interesting stuff is that you can roll back to the previous less known good site. It's also like true and false, because if you, for example, introduce some kind of breaking changes to the database, it also can be tricky to roll out database to the less known good version. But either way, for a web app, it's more or less easy. And also, it enables A-B testing, but we will not talk about this in details. So this deployment slots works as expected. You have your web app with kind of blue background, and this is your production version. And then developers change something and roll out a new version with a green background on a staging. They have different URLs, but they share the same resources. So they share the same infrastructure. After that, you just hit swap button from the portal or call the swap action from the management API, and they will be swapped. Why they have like almost zero downtime? It's also kind of important stuff. I will show it from the. I'll show it in my demos. Because they need only to change the HTTP bindings and restart the application pool. And that's all. So that's why it's so fast. And
yeah.
Oh, I will show it in my demos. And the main idea is that here is only for like web apps. You always have your database on kind of other server, because I believe that you are not a cowboy and you do not have this all-in-one installation with Active Directory, database, and application server on the same machine. Yes, and here, if you want to live in harmony with the rest of the world, then avoid running load tests on different deployment slots of the same web app. And the reason is because they share the same resources. So it can look as a separate web app, but underneath they use the same resources. So it's all, so it's the same as running load tests on production. It maybe sounds like a good idea, but believe me, it's not. So Traffic Manager, it's not about web app, but it's a very useful service which always comes like near to the web apps. The main idea is you can have the entire world and you want to install your application in different data centers for several reasons. First of all, you want to make kind of a nice experience for users, for example, from States and from Europe, accessing your app, so you don't want them to go like through the ocean and wait for the network. So you want to have it here, here, and here. And you want to have a single name so they can access your application, like facebook.com or bing.com or google.com. So you can achieve this with the traffic manager. You can create a single point and then just attach as many endpoints behind this name. And also, for example, if some web server will fail, it will be excluded from the routing engine of this traffic manager. So it also works like a charm. It works very nice. And your marketing department will talk you about all this stuff. But you know, it's like in this old joke, after marketing department will talk about all this stuff, my phone starts ringing just because someone starts to use it without any kind of going deep in details. So it's another time for quiz. What will traffic manager do if you start receiving 404 or 500 while trying to access your app main page? And why? This is kind of a tricky question because, as I explained before, traffic manager is able to recognize that some server in a farm cannot be accessed or it's failed. But let's imagine that we have this situation and what can go wrong here?
Will it start turning off the instances or detaching from the
traffic? No, I said it's a tricky question. Because it's obvious, if I have some error, just turn it off or like exclude it from the round robin balancing. But it's a tricky question.
Traffic manager works like DNS.
Yes.
So it doesn't know if the site is sending 500.
No. Traffic manager is work like a DNS, it's true, but traffic manager have some way how he can determine for each server is it works or not.
It uses probes that you configure.
Yes. Who said this about probes?
I already have the
sticker. Oh, okay, so stickers go to that guy with a magnificent beard at the last row. Yeah. So, traffic manager use some probes, and usually it's like you need to create your own endpoint in your app, and just you need to point traffic manager to that health check endpoint, and traffic manager will call for this health check and wait for HTTP OK 200 response. So that is why if this health check endpoint will report HTTP OK status, but your main page is inaccessible for some reason, traffic manager will be unable to determine this. And vice versa. It's not always a good idea to point your traffic manager just to the main page of your web app. Because you need to check like the web app itself, you need to maybe check some kind of database connection, maybe some storage connection, and stuff like that. So the best practice is to create this endpoint, which will check the health status for you. So, auto-heal. It's another interesting feature of the web apps. So let's say that my app is collapsed and I want to heal it. What is the first method everyone tries to use to heal the app?
Restart,
of course. So let's have a look on auto-heal. So auto-heal consists of basically two main sections. It's just some addition for the web config. You just put it as a regular web config file in the application root, and the first section calls triggers. And you can put some triggers here. For example, if you have a lot of requests at some kind of small time interval, it can trigger some action. We will talk about actions on the next slide. Also, if you have some kind of amount of slow requests, for example, each request is more than 45 seconds, and you have like 20 requests for the last 2 minutes, it will also trigger some action. Next, you can add some status codes. For example, status code 500, substatus code 100, and stuff like that. And one of my favorite, memory private byte in kilobytes. How many of you works with PHP? No? But this is especially for PHP. PHP always has this issue with memory. I don't know actually why. I am not a PHP developer, but it's just from my experience with previous projects. So this is about triggers. And next slide is about actions. So just after the triggers, you are able to put any number of actions. First one is kind of favorite. It's recycle. As you said, yeah, it will restart the application pool, and hopefully it will fix the problem. Second one is log event, because maybe you have some outage and you want not only to recycle but also to log it, so you can after that, I don't know, go and try to investigate something, or you can call for a custom action. Just run some exe file, for example, with some arguments. So this is basically three actions you can use when you want to try to auto-heal your app. And several interesting points here, for example, about this recycle. You can have like web farm with 10 servers. And let's say that one of them hits this trigger with, I don't know, like a lot of internal server errors. It will not recycle the whole farm. It will recycle only the server who hits this trigger. So it's also kind of another important part. The same for the log event. If you want to log something, it will log this only from the one particular server from the whole farm. Why using auto-heal can kill your app? So, as you may understand, almost every feature in Azure Web Apps can kill your app, and you should know about this. So why auto-heal can kill your app? I believe that you have like the most potential for answering this question because you also you know it because you answered it on the previous question.
The database is unavailable for some period of time, and you recycle all the like for a few milliseconds, and at the same time you recycle all the servers or the instances. Then.
Yes, and go further.
Then it kills because while recycling.
Because it will go to the infinite recycle loop. It will recycle, and yeah. So this is for you. So you need to work with this recycle also like you using your head. So enabling recycle for auto-healing seems to be kind of easy, and it's actually easy, but you can easily go with this infinite recycle loop. Okay, let's go next. Backup. Oh, one of my favorite also. So, what we can backup, actually? We can backup our web app content. It's mean like the root folder of my website and everything that is underneath of this root folder. Also, I can backup application database. If I connect my web app to the database using application settings in Azure, in a web app, I will show it during my demos, I can also backup my database. And also, I can backup configuration settings. I mean, like Azure configuration settings on the same moment. So I can backup this three stuff. And it looks really nice. I can do it manually. I can put it on a schedule. I can configure the retention policy and stuff like that. But either way, why I am not happy with backups? What also can we include here? So I will go to this slide again. So what we are missing here from the best practice?
No.
It's another important stuff that doing backup is kind of easy, but no one checks if you're able to restore this after backup. Yes, it's also very important, but no. Let me try to give you some hint. Where you store the content, I mean like static content of your application? Why? Yeah, in storage. If you store it on a file system, move it to the storage. So best practice is to use the dedicated storage for a lot of reasons, actually. But either way, yeah, I am not 100% happy because I am unable to backup the content which is on my Azure Blob storage. And the main idea to put this content to the Blob storage is just because Blob storage can serve this content by HTTP, and in this way I can decrease the load on my web farm. So all static content will deliver it from the Blob storage, so I will have really kind of maybe only 15% of requests, which is like the most important one. And all static crap will be served from the cheap Azure storage. So that is why this sticker, almost the last one, go to this guy with nice haircut. Okay, and it's time for some demo. So I believe we have like 15 minutes or stuff like that. So what I have here? Here I have my Azure portal, and I create this web app called Azure Day PL. And I just want to show you some interesting stuff here. So first of all, deployment options. For now, I connect it to my GitHub account, but I will disconnect it from the GitHub and show again how you can do this. Let me just close it. Okay, so deployment options. I need to configure the required settings. I need to choose the source of my deployment. I will choose GitHub. Then I need to pass through authentication, but I already logged in, so it's okay. I'm logged in as BoicoEnt, and I need to choose the organization because I have like my personal account, and also I can contribute to different organization, and I will choose this one, Azure Day Demo. Now I need to choose the project, and project I use for this demo is Node.js Rідна Україна. After that, I need to choose the branch, and for my demo, I will choose deploy prod. And also, I'm able to configure some performance test, but we already talked about which issue you can face if you configure the performance test, so we will skip it for now. Okay, and basically that's all. So just in 1 minute with talking and explanation, I was able to connect my Azure web app with my GitHub repo. And I have this magnificent site over here. It says Hello World and App Version Prod. And now I want to show you another important features of the web app. So Here is the source code of this app. It's based on Node.js. And I just want you to show that app version is version, which is from the server side. So server just push this version number here. And also server push me the background color. And the source code is here. So basically just look at these two lines of code. I will just try to get the environment variable called version or use dev by default. And for the background, I want to grab environment variable background or use some kind of default color. And after that, I just render my view, which is called index, and just push these two arguments to this view so it can render it with the version and background I want to have. And I have this production site, and also I have this demo site. So if you will just take a look at the URL, I believe it's not really clear, but either way, it's kind of two different URLs. And here I have different background and I have different version. So how can I configure this stuff that I will have different environment variables for different deployment slots? I need to go to the application settings. I have actually a lot of settings here, but I need to scroll down a little bit. And here I have both app settings and connection strings. So as you can see, I have version prod and background this fancy blue. Okay, let's change it maybe to Poland, just to show that it will work. So I will save it. I will not change the code. I just need to wait until this variable will be pushed to all servers in my farm. It can take, it's already done. So now I can go here to my production site, just refresh it, and now app version is Poland. In this way, I can store like connection strings to my database and all other stuff, so I do not need to store them in a source control. Or in the source control, I can have connection strings which are pointed to my, I don't know, local machine or stuff like that. And I will just push this code to the web app. And web app will replace my connection string with appropriate values. If I'm working with .NET application, I can use, for example, webconfig, and I can use app settings and connection string sections inside webconfig. The only thing I need to do, I need to choose the name of the connection string. And when I push this code here, the connection string with the appropriate name will be replaced actually with the value I have right here. Okay, let's go see some other stuff. Another important thing is, this checkbox, slot settings, because on production, you have connection string to the production database. On staging and other environments, you have connection strings for like exact environments like staging, QA, and stuff like that. And when you swap the environments, by default, they will also swap the settings. But you do not want to your code go from staging to production with connection string to staging environments. So that's why you want these values to be like sticked for this particular slot. So that is why you need to check this checkbox. Let me go to the where I have it. Deployment slots here. So I have only one deployment slot, but actually it's one extra slot because I always have at least once. It's called production. So I can choose this one. And it's behave as kind of as the same web app. So I can also go, I don't know, to application settings of this slot. and I will see the same blade with the same configuration. But here, for example, I do not have those values, so that is why I use them by default as it was in my code. Now, let's say that I want to swap two environments, and here I can choose the source, the destination, and very important stuff, preview changes. And it will say that version is missing on test, background is also missing on test. And some configuration values, like always on, has different values, like PHP version is disabled on one environment but enabled on another environment, and some other values. So in this case, I am able to get some insights about what will happen after I will swap those environments. So I do not need to open like two windows and compare them manually. Azure will compare them automatically. And if I'm happy with it, I can click OK, just because I want to show you how it works. Now I need to wait, but I need to wait actually just because all API calls are made in asynchronous mode. So basically it will just send the swap command to the Azure and obtain like a task ID from the Azure, and after this, each several seconds, it will just ask Azure about this task ID is done or not. So let me just try to refresh it right here. So yeah, here I have Hello World, Azure, because I swap it, but API version is Poland and background color is blue. And here, it's because I do not have this version. It is because I do not have this version and background in my application settings. That is why it's also blue. But either way, I believe you get the point. So let me also try to show you some other interesting stuff. So first of all, MySQL in app. Do not ever click this button. Let's go next. If you want to know why, I will explain it to you later. Let's go next. Let's try to find something interesting here. Or where is the backups? Oh, here. Oh, yeah. Backups. So I already configured some backups, and I can backup manually, or I can create some kind of scheduled task for backupping my website. For example, I can backup it once per day or even like once per hour. Here, just configure some schedule. For example, begin, end, and the most important one is time zone. So I do not need to do this calculation. For example, because Ukraine is plus 3, Poland, I believe, like plus 1 or something like that.
That depends on the time.
Okay, but either way, yes, so I do not need to do this calculation. If I know that my site will expect lesser load, for example, I don't know, at 2 a.m., I can choose my time zone here, and I can set, okay, I want to start from this day, and I want to have it like at 2 a.m., and I'm happy with it. Okay, so this was about backups, and after that, I'm also able to download those backups. So let me show you some secret stuff like advanced tools. How many of you know about this button, about CUDA console? Okay, several, nice. So previous, if you want to go to the CUDA console, you need to copy your website name and just type SSCM in between. But now Microsoft creates these new improvements, and now we have this button in the portal, which is really nice. So what we can have here, this is our debug console for the web app. We can, in this way, work or like log in to the server farm and do some fancy stuff. Like we can go to the process explorer and see, for example, which process are running right now. As you can see, we have IIS, and inside IIS, because this site is based on Node.js, so inside IIS I also have this node.exe, because it's kind of an engine for running Node.js scripts. And this IIS process is for serving STM, so basically for serving this console, this website. I can go for properties and see some general details, some modules, handles, I don't know, threads, environment variable, and stuff like that. So for example, if my app starts to behave strange, I can go here and I can try to determine for what reason it's going wrong. Also, I can go to tools and I can go to diagnostic dumps, I can go to the log stream, I can go to web job dashboards. How many of you attend the session before lunch about web jobs in that room? Yeah, so he talked about web jobs dashboard, and here is how you can get to this dashboard. I can go here, but I have no web jobs, so it will be empty. And I believe we are kind of slow, so let's go to debug console, to the file explorer, actually. So in this way, you are able to see all files which are located on this shared file system. So you can navigate just by clicking on these folders, or you can try, I don't know, something like this. You can also try this, but it will not happen. or if you will be able to make this happen, just send me an email, because I really want to try to trick the system, but for now I was unable to do this. It depends, you are Chuck Norris or not. Yes, so this is CUDA console. It also has this section called site extensions, but you can access this also from the portal. And for the site extensions, you can install some of them. Let's choose, I don't know, for example, phpMyAdmin. If someone has some kind of PHP background, they may recognize this application. So it's kind of web app for accessing your MySQL database. And it will be installed on the same server and share the same resources as your web app. And you do not need to bother about any kind of authentication stuff, just because to access CUDA console and to access all these extensions, you need to log in with the live ID you are used to log in to the Azure portal. So you use the same live ID with the same like features, benefits, and stuff like that. Maybe I will be able to show you something else, but yeah. For example, alerts. It's also another important stuff. For now, I do not have any alerts, but even if I configure some kind of autoscale and stuff like that, I may want to have some notifications. So I can create some alerts for the resource, for example, Azure Day, like a server farm, or just for this site. And I can have several metrics here. So let's just switch for the site, because I will have different metrics for the site. So I can say it, for example, if for this website the requests is greater than, I don't know, 100 in the last 5 minutes, I want to email like subscription owners, and I also can call for the webhook. So I can configure these alerts here. And let me just show you maybe the traffic manager here. I will just show it to you briefly, because I believe we have no time. So, traffic manager. Here I create my traffic manager endpoint, which is like Azure Day PL at, let me just go, Azure Day PL traffic manager.net. And after I create this like endpoint on a traffic manager, I need to put at least one endpoint behind traffic manager. For now, it's only one web app, but if I want, I can add more. The type can be Azure endpoint, external endpoint, or nested endpoint. Let's just choose Azure. Let's just put some fancy name here. And maybe app service slot. So I can choose again like Azure PL, or I have a lot of other sites here, but let's choose this one. And the slot is test. So in this way, Traffic Manager will redirect users to both like my production slot and test slot. It will work in really funny way, but either way, I just want to show you that it's kind of simple to edit here. Okay. It's maybe because these two endpoints are on the same region, so that's why he do not want to add them. But okay, either way, I'm run of my time. If you have any questions, you can find me like in a near the lobby bar, for example. If you want to make a selfie in front of my contacts, you have another options to make the selfie. And I will really wait you for my topic tomorrow. I will talk about Azure Storage, about how you can increase the performance working with Azure Storage, and the increasing of performance. I will talk more about not use some kind of SDK and stuff like that. I will talk more about tips and tricks. I have experience from my previous project. So thank you for your attention.